You know, there's a saying that rocker Mick Jagger is credited with. It's something to the effect that you can only let yourself go if you can get yourself back. And that may have been my personal motivation for running a marathon more than once, but for Peter Sagal, it may have been something else altogether. The popular host of the radio show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me plans to run the Maui Marathon this coming weekend. The humorist is pretty serious about the sport, with 15 marathons under his belt and a book to boot entitled The Incomplete Book of Running.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited for a couple of reasons. A, I get to bring my wife, who's never been to Hawaii, and I think she's going to love it. Secondly, I've never been to Maui myself. I've been to Oahu and Kauai, so this is a big new thing for me. I'm very excited.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, good. Yeah, I think you'll have a good time.
Is it possible to have a bad one?
No. Well, I'll take that back. It's possible, but not probable, I think. But gosh, so you've also written a book, and I must confess I have not read it. But it
that's
sounds
okay. Nobody reads books. We all read Twitter instead. It's totally fine.
It sounds intriguing, though. I mean, it talks about how you ran the marathon in St. Louis in your underwear.
Yes. Well, that wasn't a marathon. That was a sort of vaguely mile-ish race called, I believe it was called the Cupid Run, which was a fundraiser that I did. But it's been an interesting career as an amateur midlife runner. I never thought I would ever have anything to say about athletic achievements. Most people in public radio in general are probably not known for our athletic prowess. But, of course, I stumbled into it at the age of 40. As you know, maybe as you just said in regards to Mick Jagger trying to bring myself back from what had become a fairly indolent suburban life. And it led to a number of adventures, one of which, of course, was running in my underwear up and down the streets of St. Louis. Another was being at the finish line of the Boston Marathon, having just completed it in 2013 when the bombs went off. So that was an interesting day. And various other adventures in the course of my marathoning career, which is not over yet. And in the book, I try to write both tell those stories and to draw out some lessons from all of them.
Well, you know, my daughter was attending Boston University when that incident happened. And, it kind of shook our world. And
I'm sure. I'm sure you were very concerned for your daughter. I remember my phone blowing up when I finally got it back in my hand because people were hearing about this bombing and knew I was there. And of course, you know, people are inclined to worry.
Yes, and I was working that story from over here in Hawaii, trying to reach students that were there at the time, either running it or attending school in the Boston area. I just remember asking one of the students, because, you know, I'm not that familiar with Boston. I dropped my daughter off to college, but I said, you know, gosh, where is this armory place that they keep talking about on the news where they where this one bomber was hiding out? And they said, oh, you know, it's right around the corner from the Bed Bath & Beyond that everybody goes to. And I remember taking the bus there. Yes, but you know, it just brings that home, and I'm sure you were probably thanking your lucky stars that you didn't get caught up in that.
Yeah, it's a very strange story. One of the things that was interesting, as I relate in the book, is that we, even though myself and the guy I had run with, I guided a blind runner that day named William Greer, even though he and I were 100 yards. From the bombs when they went off, we really had very little idea of what had just happened. We were in the middle of this ongoing news event with limited view. And, of course, unlike everybody else in America, we didn't have phones in our pockets because we had just run a marathon. So it was all very disorienting and strange. And one of the things I found out, and maybe you guys in Hawaii sort of experienced this when you had that very bizarre missile scare last
year.
That when you're in the middle of what it seems to be like an extraordinary disaster, one of the hardest things is just to convince yourself that it's actually happening. This can't be happening, right? I mean, this doesn't really happen in life, does it? And yet here it was. So it was a very strange time.
You know, you had talked about St. Louis, and, you know, I've been in St. Louis when I think they've had their record, you know, heat wave, high temperatures, and record lows. So
it was a pretty cold day, if that's what you're asking.
Yes.
Fortunately, the race, such as it was, again, it was about a mile long for charity, was organized to start and to finish in a bar, Cyberg's, as I remember. So there was a significant amount of artificial warming going on, let's say. People drank a lot before they ran, which I guess you kind of need to run around and in February in St. Louis in your underwear anyway, and a fair amount of celebratory drinking once we all returned.
Yeah, you know, and I know they've got all these crazy clubs. Oh, gosh, what are the Hash Harriers?
Hash House Harriers. Running is both great and frustrating. It's great because it is the simplest exercise there is. Anybody can do it. All you need is a decent pair of shoes and maybe some shorts. If you're a woman, probably a sports bra is a good idea. But other than that, you're good to go. So you don't need to join a gym. You don't need to take classes. You don't need other people to do it with, although obviously I argue in my book that's a great advantage, finding other people to do it with. But at the same time, it is so simple that people keep complicating it up. You know, Hash House Harriers are people who run for beer. There are the Spartan-type races, Tough Mudder-type races, adventure races where you're not just running. There are zombie runs where other runners disguised as zombies chase you, and if they catch you, you're quote-unquote dead. And those are all great fun. I have no argument against any of them, but I've tried a lot of things over the years, and the one thing I keep coming back to is just going for a run.
Yeah, but if you're a slow runner, man, boy, does it take up a lot of your time.
It does. It takes up less time than, say, biking. I'll say that. And, you know, the amount of time, let me put it this way, the amount of time you spend running slowly, quickly, competitively, for fun, is valuable time. And if you, you know, if you can just go out for 30 minutes and during those 30 minutes you can only do 2 miles, that's great. I don't have any, I don't, you know, pull rank on anybody because I've run a marathon and you've only run 2 miles. It's terrific. Good for you for getting off your couch and running 2 miles. One of my big causes these days, partially because of writing the book and partially just looking around, is just trying to convince people in Hawaii, I hope I don't have to argue too hard, to go outside, to put down their computers, their phones, their earplugs, and just go outside. And if running has one great advantage, it gets you outside. And it's something everybody, we were all, as I believe the song goes, born to run, and we've all sort of forgotten it in our industrialized Western lives. And I think it's important to get back in touch with that.
And, you know, we're dealing with climate change, and I know in Japan, they're talking about the Olympics and the marathons. They're talking, well, maybe we should start we have midnight marathon because it may be so hot that it might kill off a few people.
I was just in Japan, in Tokyo, in fact, in August, which is when they're going to have the Olympics next year, and I have no idea how that's going to work. I tried to go out and run 5 miles one day and almost fainted, so I can't imagine how they're going to try to run an Olympic marathon in that weather. But yeah, it's a problem. All the more reason to get outside now before it's too late.
Before it gets too hot. Yeah. I know here for the Honolulu Marathon, we started at like at 5 in the morning. And we have fireworks, and it's pretty snazzy. I don't know, have you run the Honolulu Marathon?
No, I have never run a marathon in Hawaii. This is fun. I mean, my time as a competitive marathoner, I think, has come to a close. I did pretty well for a while. And now I'm just doing marathon tourism. So every time I run a marathon, I'm trying to do it in a different state and in a different place. So this year, for example, I ran the Big Sur Marathon in California, which was just extraordinary, and now, of course, Maui. And I'm just thrilled. I'm just, you know, I don't really think of these as races anymore at my age. I think of them more as long runs with a whole bunch of new friends.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, I just remember the images that are burned in my brain. I remember a group of Japanese tourists who were running it, and then they stopped at the curb to reapply their mascara, which I thought was fun.
I have to say, another great thing about running is it absolutely doesn't matter what you look like. We all look terrible. We're all miserable and covered in sweat and even worse stuff sometimes. And that's a great thing as well. It's not an attractive look for anybody. So we're all sort of on the same plane. Nobody is trying to show up anybody else.
Yeah, the other memory I had is that, you know, as they hand out the drinks as you go by the aid stations, and then here somebody had a pair of chopsticks, and they had some a gob of Vaseline, and they offered it up, you know, for chafing. But one of the runners grabbed the chopsticks and put the Vaseline in their mouth.
Oh, God, no. Ah.
Yuck.
Oh, God, I just cringed. Oh, that's the worst. Yeah, well, obviously a new runner there. Well, they learned that lesson the hard way.
Yeah, and I was reading where you were saying sometimes you run to quiet your colon.
That's a whole other thing. This is probably not a good topic for, you know, midday radio, but if you are curious as to that whole aspect, the lower digestive tract and one runner struggles with issues, I refer you to Chapter 6.
Okay.
As one review said, if you want to know everything about, like, Peter Sagal's, you know, bathroom habits, read this book. If you don't, read the book, but skip Chapter 6. So I'll give that recommendation to everybody.
Okay. Well, my last memory was a gentleman who was losing the battle with quieting his colon, and he was soiled, and I just thought, oh, good gosh.
Yeah.
But better him than me.
Yes, exactly. There, but at the same time, there but for the grace of God, go all of us.
Yes, absolutely. Well, good luck with the Maui Marathon, and
thank
we
you.
Hope you come here to Honolulu and run this one too.
I will. I mean, who knows? Maybe once I've tried a Hawaiian Marathon, I'll be addicted and need to do all of them. It's just, I anticipate just having a great time because it's, you know, it's Hawaii. How could it be bad?
Peter Sagal is entered to run the Maui Marathon on Sunday, October 13th. He'll be a special speaker at the Expo on Saturday at 11 a.m. and at 2 p.m. at the Westin Maui Resort and Spa, though the Expo runs both days. The Maui Marathon is a nonprofit race, which includes a full marathon, a four-person marathon relay, a half marathon, a 10K, and a 5K. So no excuses. Like Peter Sagal says, get out there and run.